Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, 59 minutes remaining in the show. Welcome to Chico Dog Live, episode number 4. Let's do the main intro. Take it away, Alvin Washington Jr.
Live from Tampa Bay, Florida, this is ChicoDog.com, the podcast, with your host, Mike, presented on Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in line is area code 646-727-3235. The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast are those of ChicoDog.com or our callers and not the host provider. Opinions received by listeners in email or chat will be noted as such. We invite you to participate in this broadcast by calling, joining us in our online chat, or by emailing us at mike@chicodog.com. Again, the number is 646-727-3235. And now, from Tampa Bay, Florida, Mike.
And thank you. That's Siri Sweet Productions producing that for us, that bit. The intro, that is Alvin Washington Jr. and the crew over there in Missouri putting that together. Many thanks to you. I am trying the chat again. Don't seem to have chat capabilities right now, so the chat room is not functioning, at least on my end. So if you're in there and you're the only one, sorry about that. I usually try to get in there. Anyway, welcome to Chico Dog Live, episode number 4, originating from downtown Wesley Chapel, Florida, downtown, the big metropolis, just north of Tampa, Florida, on Florida's west coast. The topics for tonight, we'll discuss gas, not the kind you get in your stomach or in your intestines, but the kind that we're all paying dearly for. Seems to be going back up. We'll discuss that. Also, we'll discuss a vigilante, supposedly a vigilante in Arizona, who captures illegal immigrants his way. And also, we'll cover a little bit about the Atlantic Paranormal Society, that's TAPS. And if time permits, I think we also have a skit. We'll also take your call, so be sure to call in at any time to get on the air and talk with us. Area code 646-727-3235. And I don't think we'll be talking, somebody just like TAPS, you know, what's the deal with TAPS. But anyway, I'm very defensive sometimes. But no, it's not going to be so much as TAPS, but it'll be about a local group. Anyway, something that was covered on the blog. If you're not familiar with that, go back to the blog, chicodog.com, that's ChicoDawg.com, and read about that. Otherwise, stick around here. No callers on right now, other than myself. We have 57 minutes remaining. It's just after 7 o'clock. I'm not going to cover the weather or the major news items. I think that we have a pretty packed deal, plus with the skit that took about 5 hours to produce today. I wasn't able to get all the current stuff. So outside right now, I don't know, it's partly cloudy. It's in the hundreds. We're back into summer again. It's supposed to get cold again. Thank you. That's the end of the weather. One topic I haven't covered on any of my websites has been gas prices. All last year, I never wrote about the topic, which is kind of strange. Gas prices fluctuated so much it was hard to keep up with it. On one site I manage, I posted local gas prices from each of the gas stations in the area. This was something that I did on my own. I carried a little voice recorder with me, which you'll also hear about later. But I actually went to, what was it, five or six of the local gas stations in the area. And as I was driving, just talked about the prices and came home and updated the website. It was a lot of work. And when it got to the point that gas changed almost hourly, I dropped the listing. One morning in December, I think it was, I was at our local 7-Eleven and doing a fill-up. And while I was filling the tank, the manager came out to change the sign. The gas prices were actually going down again. And he happened to mention that they were expecting the price to drop below $2 per gallon within a week, and it did. Holiday shoppers, while skeptical of the price change, were still cutting their gift purchases. According to American Research Group Incorporated, spending was actually 50% lower this year than in 2007, actually 2008, because we're in 2009 now. So what is a barrel of crude worth, and who decides the price? I always thought it was gas companies, but apparently right now crude oil is right about $40 or just under $40 a barrel, and it is decided by the oil traders and brokers. They research the market, and they consider everything that is happening in the world, such as natural disasters, Of course, the war plays a big part of it. Temperature and environmental changes, elections, and I guess the holiday season. Prior to Thanksgiving 2008, merchants were foreseeing a bad shopping season. The holidays are in reality when merchants make their gold. Can't the government just regulate gas prices at a federal level? Actually, this was tried way back in the 1970s, and this resulted in long gas lines at the pump and gas shortages. President Reagan came along and lifted the government price controls, and the problems disappeared. Congress needs to consider changing the policies that affect our gas prices. Congress refuses to allow offshore drilling. The public says it will obstruct their view of the open water, which is kind of funny because decades ago, a small strip of sand offered plantation owners and homeowners a wonderful view of our Gulf of Mexico. Now, you're complaining from the 30th floor of your condo on that same strip of sand about a small speck of a platform you may or may not even see. So why not drill for oil on land or build more refineries? More environmental concerns. And there is a huge cost. A typical refinery costs billions of dollars. The required permits can take years to obtain, and lawsuits and other issues can still delay construction after everything is approved. The U.S. has not constructed a new refinery since the mid-70s. Taxes at the state and federal level can account for about a third of the price we pay for gas. The government needs to get back to work. The vacation is over, and they spend more time pointing fingers and placing blame on someone else. Of course, it's not my fault, right? Meanwhile, gas prices in the Wesley Chapel and Tampa area are above $1.93 per gallon, and it looks like it's happening again. Let me try that. My text chat. Usually I read this while I'm... Wow. Is there a player going? What is this? Okay, let me see if I can get out of this. That was... Is it playing again? That was odd. It just played again. God, that is so odd. Let's see if I can get out of here. We've got issues. We're having technical difficulties. Alrighty then. Let's see if I'm still on. That is odd. It just started replaying again in my headphones. I had my headsets. That's kind of interesting. Maybe there's a glitch going on here. Tell you what I'm going to do. I think, let me close this out real quick. See if I can get back in here. Yeah, that is odd. I tell you what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to call back in, but there's definitely a glitch going on. I don't understand why, but I'm rehearing the whole show again through my headset. It's very interesting. Let me log out real quick. Wow, that's... Okay, stay with us. We're having a technical issue. I bet I can fix it real quick. This is odd. I think it's must be our call in. Okay, I'm gonna call out. I'll call back in. We'll have about 48 minutes left. Hold on just a second. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Chico Douglas. Okay. Let me see if I got any echo back. No? That's pretty cool. Let me do this real quick. I'll be right back. We had to call out, call back in. It is echoing.
Call in and talk on air. Dial area code 646-727-3235 or join us in our online chat. And now, back to Chico Dog the podcast on Blog Talk Radio.
We are using the new version of Skype. So what I need to do, that's strange there. Let me, I have to go back over here. Okay. Because I'm hearing the audio from the program, but it's about, 15 seconds previous from the prior part of the show. So it's kind of like coming back to us. I don't know why. Anyway, where were we? Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll go ahead and continue on, and I'll have to unmute this when I'm done. Right now the speakers are muted, so I don't have to hear it come back to us. Yeah, it's still coming back. That's interesting. From the You've Got to Be Kidding Me files, a 64-year-old rancher in Arizona is being sued. Roger Barnett of Cochise County is being sued for $32 million. The civil trial is expected to take about a week. He is being sued for actual and punitive damages for civil rights violations. The violations were against 16 Mexican nationals. The immigrants were crossing Barnett's 22,000-acre ranch when Barnett stopped them at gunpoint and held them until Border Patrol agents arrived. Barnett has been rounding up and turning over illegal immigrants since 1998. He says they are destroying his property, killing his calves, and even broke into his home. The lawsuit claims that since 1998, Barnett has turned over 12,000 illegal immigrants. Way to go. In 2002, Mr. Barnett told the Washington Times that the immigrants tore up water pumps, destroyed fences and gates, and stole his trucks and vandalized his property. Apparently in Arizona, when you own property, you have little or no rights to it or your belongings. Also apparently in Arizona, when you cross into this country illegally and perform illegal activities, you have more rights than the U.S. citizens in this country. Also apparently in Arizona, knowing all this as an illegal immigrant, you can obtain legal counsel and tie up our courts to demand compensation for being mistreated after entering our country illegally, performing criminal acts, and otherwise disrupting the lives of our citizens. What is wrong with you people? According to the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, better known as MALDEF, Roger Barnett was also involved in legal action against him when he assaulted a family of Latino U.S. citizens in 2004 who were hunting on state land in Arizona. Barnett held the family at gunpoint using a military-style assault rifle. The difference here is they were U.S. citizens. Barnett does sound like he has some racial issues. But I'm all for protecting a person's property and life. And if you're in this country illegally, here's a question. Why is the definition of crime changed to accommodate you and your seemingly protected rights? Roger Barnett did his part in protecting our borders. He turned over the illegal immigrants to the Border Patrol. With 22,000 acres, he could have done a lot worse, and we would never hear about this lawsuit. It was written down. Hopefully the message was clear this time. Stay off his property, or better yet, enter the U.S. legally. which I have no problem with. If you want to enter the U.S. legally, that's great. You want to sneak over a fence and destroy someone's property, you get what's coming, as we would say, I think. All right, we're going to take a break. I don't have anybody on right now, probably because we disconnected and had to reconnect. I don't know. Let me check again. Yeah, that's odd. I'm like hearing the show again through the headset, but I'm not listening to it right now. Hopefully the rest of this will work. We'll take a break, and you can comment on this or the show. Call 646-727-3235 at any time. I'll see the number pop up here, and we'll get to you. Or you can click on the Click to Talk button from the show page. It appears just to the right of the phone number. Coming up in a bit, we'll talk about TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society. We'll see you back here in a few, and I don't even know if this is going to run. Yeah, it'll run. Just listening to the other side, to the other half of it, because you can hear it live come through, and you can hear about 15 seconds before come through at the same time. It's odd. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play. I don't have anybody online right now. I tried something else, but maybe the new version of Skype is messed up. I'm going to go ahead and play one of my favorites from DJ Carrie, and we are now friends on MySpace, so that's pretty cool. I wonder if she does interviews on podcasts, even beginning ones. But I listened to this one in the car. This sounds really cool in stereo. So if you go to magnatune.com, do a search for DJ space Carry, that's Carry, and check this song out. This is Dopamine on Chico Dog Live. Be right back with more after this. We're back with Chico Dog Live. That's DJ Carey, Dopamine. Yeah, Dopamine, right?
Okay.
It is 7:22 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll have to change this real quick. Yeah, see, then my voice comes on right now. When the song stopped in my headset. That's very strange. In June 2008, I wrote an article on my blog, chicodog.com, which had mixed reviews. Got a couple of complaints, got a couple of positives out of it. And the topic was understanding taps. And then I made a little blurb in there that, no, I'm not talking about tap dancing, but it was TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and about the operation and some local stuff. Basically, something happened that ticked me off, and it has gone unsolved. But, I just had to get something off my chest, much like what the blog was for. It was originally a travel site, but then it turned into a... There it goes. Lost the microphone. Then it turned into a... there we go. Okay. Then it turned into something that I had reviews, opinions, and all kinds of stuff on it. But I kind of got away from the travel portion of it. But this article was my account of what transpired after joining or trying to join a local paranormal investigation group, which happens to be affiliated with TAPS. This affiliation was not what drew me to the group or team. I was looking for an active group in the area. By active, I mean one that actually investigates. A chance to prove or disprove for myself that, things on the paranormal. Yes, you can watch the TV show all you want. You can watch every episode, and I used to. But when it comes down to it, is that really proof just because they said it happened that way? I wanted to see for myself without the commercials, without the sensationalism that they do on every episode to keep you watching through the commercials. So initially, I searched the Internet and found Real Proof. And Proof stands for Paranormal Researchers out of Florida. That's pretty catchy, right? They were building or expanding a team. They had a thing on their website about it, and they supposedly had no affiliation with TAPS, which was fine with me. Their website was a mix. It was part text, part images, and some photos, some historic things. It was basically just tossed around amidst a distorted background, and the site needed a major overhaul, but that's a different story. In any case, I was interested in them, and communication was slow and sometimes non-existent. I quickly lost interest in that due to lack of communication, and in February I found this group also in the area called S-Spirit. That's a small letter S, capital S, and then Spirit. They seemingly had a lot going for them. They appeared to be organized, and they were a TAPS affiliation, which at the time was sort of a draw. I soon learned that not only were they affiliated, they also founded or managed TAPS Family, which is the governing or controlling body of teams that are TAPS related. And they also controlled the biggest event in the paranormal TV world called TAPSCon. And I'll have more on that later. But again, communication was slow. Maybe they only communicate with the living. I don't know. But eventually I was accepted into the new team. And in April, now that was from February, in April we met for the first time at the wonderful Bellevue Biltmore Hotel in Clearwater. The historic wooden structure dates back to about 1897 and was built, I believe it was built by Henry Plant. I could not find information on that, and I do all kinds of history stuff for Tampa and Ybor and everything, but I couldn't find anything on Henry Plant. But Henry Plant did build the original Tampa Hotel, which is now the University of Tampa, and it was also done around that same time. I believe the Tampa Hotel was before the Bellevue Biltmore. But anyway, so we're at the meeting. I got to meet the founders of S-Spirit and learned of their control of the TAPS family. TAPSCon and the haunted fourth and fifth floors of the Biltmore. No one, apparently, according to them, goes up there unless they know about it first. That's what we were told. The Spirit had over 70 investigations under its belt. That's what they claimed. That is a good amount of experience and organization skills, right? This group was going places, or so I thought. But it could not be stated enough. The founders of that spirit, how do you say that? It's like a long S, were powerful players in the paranormal world with controlling stock in all major aspects of TAPS, except the TV show side of things, of course. Emphasis was made on the upcoming event in May called TAPSCon. As being a part of the group, we would also be a part of TAPSCon. We would have meetings, ID badges, access, T-shirts, duties, actual plans of action. This was a major event. That evening, after a great dinner at the Biltmore, we traversed the infamous haunted fourth and fifth floors with another group setting up to do an investigation. I guess they were special friends of the founders or something. Now, these particular floors that we went to were in major disrepair. There was paint and walls missing. Flooring was removed. There were no lights, no air conditioning, and it was about 85 to 90 degrees. Now, this, of course, was an unused, non-public area of the hotel, which is about to go under some major renovation. The public areas were absolutely beautiful, and they remain beautiful. It's really an incredible hotel. When you see this from the outside, it's amazing. And on the inside, it's even, you're just like, wow, it's incredible to see this hotel on the inside especially. But I had my Canon 20D camera, flash and tripod. I carried accessories in my backpack, as I normally do, which, by the way, weighs a ton. And in my other hand was an Olympus digital voice recorder, which was continuously recording. After listening to the audio at home, I caught what sounded like two EVPs. And if you have ever watched TAPS or Ghost Hunters, you should know that EVPs are you should know what they are, and they define it the term during every show. And I will play these for you in a bit. I will play both audio files for you. The group maintained forms on a free service, and one area was for EVP. So I took it upon myself to post my EVP on there and ask if anyone who was at the Biltmore that night might have whispered what I caught on this EVP. They also control a chat room on StarChat, and for those who know the term, StarChat is IRC-based. Now, I have been working with computers since 1981. Initially, I ran a BBS, which is a bulletin board system using, I used Wildcat, and I also used PC board way back in the day. Back then, Windows was at version 3.1. It was crap. And most BBS operators, they call this SysOps, used a program called DeskView for multitasking. Very simple, very plain, very archaic by today's standards. But back then, DeskView was like the thing. BBSs were reachable only by phone using a modem. Many BBSs only allowed one user at a time. There was one per phone line. So if you only had one phone line, only one person got on. And if they stayed an hour or 3 hours, that's all you had, which was fine back then. I subscribed to the FIDO network, which resembles a lot of what Usenet or the news groups are today, if you're familiar with Usenet. The Internet was not born yet for mainstream users. I also helped test a protocol used on the BBSs, which enabled graphics such as lines, circles, and colors on the user's side. And they used special tags to define the lines, the colors, and other effects, much like how HTML works today on the Internet. The World Wide Web, as we know it, went live in, 1982 or 93? I can't remember exactly. But by the mid or late 1990s, I was on IRC, which is Internet Relay Chat. IRC is operated by network hosts who run the necessary servers and software and hardware. And I also ran a server for a short time just to see what was involved there. So I'm versed on that aspect as well. Now, within IRC, you'll find channels or chat rooms. Each room is moderated or controlled by an operator or several operators, people behind the scenes, basically. The operators are there to maintain order. Some consider themselves the gods of all things. If you violate a room rule or otherwise upset a channel operator, they can kick you out of the room or ban you from it. And in extreme cases, they can ban you from the server. Egos are alive and flourish on IRC. Some go to extreme. On StarChat's Star Chat's Ghost Hunters Room, this was quite evident. As with anything TAPS-related, as a member, you are not allowed to deviate from the TAPS mentality. I know this from my short-term experience with them. And forget about devaluating Ghost Hunters, the TV show. That and talking down about the show's stars, TAPS, or their family is strictly taboo. I never saw a need to do that, however. I was part of a team. The room was active during the day, but most of the operators were just sitting idle. Not to be bothered, I guess, but they were listening, ready to pounce on anyone typing negatively towards TAPS or its affiliations. They'll chat when a close friend comes in the room, but otherwise everybody else can be ignored. Remember, the elite owners of this room, owners in their minds, also control TAPS Family and TAPS Con. So TAPS Family is made up of teams in the U.S. and other parts of the world. As a TAPS Family member, your team can proudly display the TAPS logo or at least show affiliation with the popular sci-fi channel show. All who are in the paranormal world will look up to you because of that affiliation. Okay. Eventually, I had to ask the gods of all things paranormal. So when are we going to meet for this major event at the Biltmore? Soon, right? Communication and planning is key to any success. There was a major lack of communication from our team founders. Another member began a newsletter for the 12-member team that we had at the time. I joined this group to investigate, and so far, they were being planned but never finalized. Everything was always being planned. Of course, being on such a team is done voluntarily, but some of us still had to do work, regular jobs. Now, in June, right before this blog article was written, a meeting was planned regarding the event. The meeting was scheduled for the 15th of June, which was Father's Day, a day I also had to work. Brent, the co-founder of Spirit, manager of Everything TAPS, emailed the team asking if it was okay. Within 3 hours of that email, another one was sent saying basically that since the date fit with another member, it was a done deal. So much for being in a team, right? Of course, I received the emails after I got home from work that day. That didn't settle right, and I explained my case. I emailed them. I emailed everybody. I also explained it to the other members. So at that point, I broke the worship TAPS rule. That's taboo. Eventually, I was banned from their chat room. I was notified by one of the other operators in the room. It was sad because he really didn't know why, but because it was so ordered by Brent or Nancy or one of the others, the founders of this group, S Spirit, he must have to comply. I did not violate any of the server or room rules. I was just banned. I then went to the forums that they maintained, those free forums, and found I was banned from them as well. So I immediately ran to my car outside, stuck the key in the ignition, and turned. Okay, good. That still worked. I can live, right? I could not get a response to my EVP question in the forums because now I'm blocked. Well, it had been there for at least a month or more, and nobody had responded to it. But I found that I did indeed receive a reply from a team member to my EVP query after I was banned from the forums. I just had to find a way to bypass their little IP address lock, and I got into the forums. Yeah, that's how it happens. So basically I was asking, did anyone whisper what you hear on this EVP or this recording during this investigation of the fourth and fifth floors? And the answer I received was no. I didn't whisper it. Nobody else whispered it, as far as we can figure out from that. So I'm going to play for you this EVP. It's very interesting. You'll hear some people talking, and because they're in the room as well. They couldn't be quiet, so they broke their own investigation rules. You need to be quiet to hear things. And you'll hear someone say, yakety yak. Okay? I don't know where that came from, you know, if it was on the wall written or something, but they said yakety yak. If you listen close, there's this brief pause, and you'll hear a whisper repeating, yakety yak. This is something I have, or had, scared the heck out of me, on my digital voice recorder when there was just a few of us on there. There's a brief pause. This was whispered. Listen.
Is there anybody here with me?
Yeah, Katie.
Ooh, where's that door?
Don't come back.
Is that other door?
Yakety yak, don't come back.
So I don't know if you heard that. It's funny because to listen to that, I had to unmute my speakers. And, of course, what I get is myself talking about 15 to 20 seconds ago. Something is wrong with Skype, I'm telling you. But in case you missed it, I'll play it one more time for you. I'm just hearing it again.
Is there anybody here with me?
Yo, Kitty.
Ooh, where's that door go?
Don't come back.
That other door?
Yeah, Kitty, yeah, don't come back.
Okay, did you hear that? As far as I know and remember, and this was even right after I recorded that, and according to others in the room, that was not whispered by anyone and was not heard except on the recorder. In another recording, let me cancel that one. In another recording I have, you can hear a whistle in the background. It is very short, but you can hear it. It's almost like three notes. And go ahead and listen to this one. You'll hear some talking, but right in the mix of the talking, you'll hear just a real faint whistle. Hopefully the audio quality is good enough for that. Listen to this. Yeah. I did. I'll play that again. That's one more. This is where to go. Okay, one more time. I'll play this one. Listen to this. Okay, so you heard that. There was nothing on the, I took over 100 photos I shot, and that was in the dark on the fourth and fifth floors of the Biltmore Hotel. I used a flash and a few timed exposures as well, and nothing came up on the photos. Since this ordeal, I wrote to the TAPS headquarters in Warwick, Rhode Island. Boy, you would think, okay, they got a complaint, they're going to act on it, right? Nope, don't think so. Really. I didn't realize how closed or disenfranchised, if that's a right word, this organization was until I sent my complaint. To this day, there has been no response, no concern, no anything. I'm just one little peon in the world that, you know, has an issue and, you know, who cares. I did get the notice that the envelope or the letter was received, and basically they could care less, and I knew it. They reinstated my belief that TAPS is there for the Hollywood-esque TV show, the notoriety, the control and power over all things paranormal, the on-screen sensationalism that you get right before commercial, you know, all that kind of stuff. If your product or team has TAPS associated with it, it is inherently respected in the paranormal community above all others, above those who do not appear on cable TV network. No colors? I'm surprised. I'm surprised. Really, I'm serious. The websites affiliated with the Spirit or their TAPSCon are rarely updated. Although the team lineup at Espirit has changed, there are no options to contact any of them, and they no longer include staff bios. Maybe this shows that image is more important than making a connection with the people mentality. Shortly before the holidays, I emailed everyone I had addresses for on the old team to say, Happy Holidays. That was it. No rehashing, no bad vibes or complaints. Happy Holidays, Brent, Nancy, whoever, and the others that I had. A few of the emails were returned as undeliverable because of, I guess, team changes, or they were, you know, no longer part of it. And the rest were just ignored, and that's pretty typical, which is not bad. I'm not one of these who sends out something and you have to respond to it, but, you know, it was, okay, let's move on. But when you completely ignore it, even beyond that, here we are in February now, that's getting a little, I won't go back into that. Okay, no. Great. Since then, I found other groups in the area. Since 2007, actually, I have received regular updates from a group in Tampa called the Tampa Ghost Watchers, and I'll mention more about them in a bit. I tried contacting Real Proof again several times, and eventually their website was redone to the point where it is now called Real Proof, Inc., Incorporated Handyman Services. Okay. The site does look better now, though. Since September 2008, I also connected with a group which deals with hostile haunts called Pinellas Pasco Paranormal. Let's see, we met in September and visited a local cemetery, and that was it so far. That was cemetery, a little creepy. I never did that in the middle of the night. It was creepy, but it was very interesting and cool. It was literally cool. But they do occasionally communicate, at least, and appear to have cases in the works. Just waiting on those. And I'll tell you what, when Chico, do we have time? No. I was going to go for a break here, but we really need to, I need to get on with it. We got 18 minutes left after the audio issues. If you need to call the show, you want to get on here, give me a call, 646-727-3235. Call me anytime. If I see it come up here, I'll try and get you on the air. Back in 2007, as I mentioned earlier, I found a paranormal group serving the Tampa area called the Tampa Ghost Watchers. After reviewing their informative and active website, I subscribed to their email newsletter. Now, this group maintains a blog and also hosts ghost seminars or ghostseminars.com, which includes news, videos, and more. And since 2007, I've received regular emails with updates on the group's events and happenings. Now, I'm not officially a member, but you can subscribe and you can get updates and you can find out what they're doing. They have plenty of events and articles written on their blog also. What else I like about them is their membership is open. You don't have to be a fanatic of any TV show. You don't have to believe what they tell you to believe. And when you contact them, they do respond. Also, a plus is they are not affiliated with TAPS, so you don't have the politics or any of the ignoring people or anything like that. So again, you are free to have your own beliefs. And did I mention they are active? They hold events for members only, as well as general public, which is very interesting. This allows a casual visitor or someone with any variance of interest to experience the paranormal without dedicating anything other than their time. And there is a one-time membership fee, though, and not all events are free, but they do have a lot of them. They've had cookouts. They do all kinds of stuff. They're very active. But what I have seen so far since 2007 is that this group doesn't just say they had investigations. They actually have them, and they have a lot of them planned. You need to go to their website, do a search for Tampa Ghost Watchers, or go to ghostseminars.com. You'll find them. Whereas Spirit claimed to have over 70 investigations in their background, yet they were unorganized as a team and were so closed off from the living that I have to question that number. When a paranormal group claims some number as their experience, but they have no evidence, no web updates, and no cases, and they distance themselves from everyone, that claim is probably unrealistic, at least in my opinion. But it does look good, and remember, image is more important. It's better to some to spend months designing T-shirts and name badges and stuff than planning an actual event. Which brings me to TAPSCon 2008. Which had little planning, was, as I read the majority of comments, it was crap. And I've read comments stating it was crap. Thankfully, I did not attend this event. But I guess most of those who were starstruck by the gods of all things paranormal were happy. Others were put off by the unorganized attempt. What else? Besides the promise of a face-to-face encounter with a Ghost Hunters TV star, the vendors were probably the only positive attribute at TAPSCon 2008. But was it worth the money? That's up to you guys. I didn't spend it. Luckily for all of us, TAPSCon 2009 is slated for May 15th through the 17th, hosted again at the Biltmore Hotel in Clearwater. However, we just got an update today, which was supposed to come out yesterday, and I also heard it was supposed to come out the day before and also back in January, but TAPSCon 2009 has been postponed until 2010. If you put money into the 2009 event, apparently it's good for the 2010 event. I won't go much into that, but there's a lot of legal issues going on, and we're going to just follow this along because it is kind of interesting what's going on. It's hotel versus TAPSCon, and that's all we need to say about it. You can read more about it at TAPSCon.com. .com. There's a big blurb about all the activities that are going on and accusations and everything. And okay, fine. Anyway, we got 14 minutes left in this broadcast. Let's see, we're going back up here. I wonder if I can turn on the chat room. Maybe the chat room's in a bad echo. Let me see where I'm at on the delay. That's pretty funny. I'm now listening to something about .com. It's like coming back to me. That must be a Skype issue because everything's working fine on this, on the switchboard here. Last Wednesday, winter returned to the Tampa area. The projected lows for the 2 or 3 days, like Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, I think, they were down in the upper teens to lower 20s. Thank you, Northerners, for our weather. That was we didn't need that. It was very cold. But regardless, I decided to take a short trip up north where it was even colder. But it didn't matter because I was going to visit a local winery. I took along my audio recorder, thinking this would be good material to play this evening, besides the EVPs. So please, sit back and enjoy this production of the Chico Dog Live Players performance of... Do we have it? Go ahead, play it. No. That's not it. Play the other one. All right, here we go.
The following presentation is presented with limited interruptions.
Oh, well, that's great.
From Wesley Chapel, Florida, it's the Chico Dog Players.
Oh, great. This is a real treat.
So, sit back, saddle up, and nuke some popcorn. It was a cool early evening last Wednesday. I made plans to meet with a local business owner who might be interested in being on the show. I contacted my posse and prepared for the trip. The temperature is expected to be in the teens, I cautioned them. Better pack heavy. I met my posse shortly after noon. Joining me was Poncho, a short Hispanic fellow who never seems to get wet when it rains. He brought his wife, Hey You. Her real name is Belinda Rosario Gonzalez Rodriguez Gomez Gonzalez Gonzalez. For me, it's just easier to say, Hey You. Guiding us was John Wrong Way Parker and his son, Louis No Clue Parker. I met the Parkers once when I was in Asheville looking for a convenience store. About a mile from here, he said, John. I'll show you. Follow me. About 7 hours later, we found it. I'm Mike. Some people call me Mexican. For some odd reason, I'm really Italian from Texas. Anyway, we headed north on the small narrow road towards State Road 52. Our destination? Not real sure, but we're going there. As always, I'm riding my trusty horse, who I named Pony. He was smaller when I got him. Poncho and Hey You were riding their horses named Dog and Stay. Sometimes it was hard to get Stay to move. The Parkers rode Garmin and Tom Tom. The temperature kept dropping as the sun set upon us. With no light to guide us, we set up camp off the road. Louis No Clue Parker gathered up some wood to build a fire. Poncho and John pitched the tents. I tied the horses to an old wooden fence. Suddenly, there was a noise in the distance and a hush within our camp.
Shh, hush, hush.
Branches were breaking. Someone or something was moving in the brush. I grabbed my rifle. Wow, this thing is light. Poncho, shine your flashlight over here.
Si, senor.
Oh, that's great. I packed the pellet gun instead of my rifle. Better than nothing, I guess. That should do it. Louis No Clue Parker was struggling to make a fire, even though I gave him matches and lighter fluid. What's wrong, buddy? I asked him. So do I light the wood first, or the bottle of fluid, he asked. I understand his nickname now. You light the match, then the wood where you poured some of the fluid, I said. He looked at me and struck the match. It lit. You need to pour some fluid onto the wood. There's none left, he says. It was a new bottle, I knew it was. As I looked, Louis No Clue Parker tossed the match towards the wood while he blurted out, I emptied the whole bottle onto the wood. In unison, the four of us went airborne for what must have been 30 feet or more, just as the match landed on the wood pile. Holy sh! The sky lit up like it was mid-afternoon all of a sudden. We went from 20 degrees to 95 degrees in seconds. I'll admit the heat did feel good. As I looked around, Poncho, Louis, and John Wrong Way Parker were standing apart from each other near some bushes with their backs to us. I was going to do the same, but it was too late. I already peed on myself. Hey You was sitting on the ground praying loudly in Spanish. For a few minutes afterward, we talked about going back. This is going to take too long, I said. The horses will freeze. Wrong Way Parker then responded with, Oh, so now you want to go back and get our cars? Would we have experienced all this in our cars? The excitement and all?
He had a point there. It was exciting, even if it was just for a brief moment. The fire went down to something more normal-looking. After a quick meal, Poncho and Heyu went to their tent, as did Wrong Way and No Clue. It was time to sleep. I unrolled my sleeping bag since I was going to just sleep by the... Actually, maybe I will make my tent and sleep inside. I crawled into my tent and found my MP3 player. Yes, this song usually does it. During the night, it was relatively quiet. Then, at about 3 a.m., I heard that noise again in the bushes, crackling sounds. I peeked out my tent. It was dark, but I could see shadows. Something freakishly large, tame, perhaps, but large, stood off in the distance. Could be human, could be the opposite. What is that, not human? Anyway, with more crackling, the object was gone. An hour later, I decided to get an early start of the day. It was 6:30 a.m. by my watch. Poncho was already up and making breakfast. After we ate, it was time to hit the road again. Wrong Way Parker pointed in the direction we traveled the day before, south. No, I told him, pointing north, it's this way. No Clue and Hey You were looking at some drawings on a piece of rock in the brush. Dad, I think this is a shortcut, No Clue said. After studying it a bit, we unanimously and reluctantly agreed to follow this new path. It would take us out of the main traffic, and we would avoid those kids throwing cups of ices from the 7-Eleven on us. Soon we were on our way again. It was a casual trot up a small dirt pathway heading north. As we rode, I looked along the side, and again I thought I saw something moving along with us. Was it nearby cars or truck? No. Other riders? Not sure. I could see Poncho was looking for them as well. Then we all stopped abruptly. We all listened. It was quiet. Probably just our minds playing tricks on us. Poncho yelled. That's all I needed to hear. With that, we were off, flying through the dirt path, high speed. This is the stuff only seen in Hollywood films. I looked back behind us, and sure enough, there they were. About 30 of them. I couldn't tell if they were Seminole, Cherokee, or Apache. I could tell that they were coming after us, though. Wrong Way Parker yelled at me, what will we do in our cars? My thoughts exactly. Unfortunately, this pony only had one gear. I heard gunfire. Arrows were flying overhead. I guess the good thing is we are making much better time now. Up ahead, I saw movement. Something didn't look right, and it was right in our way. We had to stop. We had to stop now. The 30 or so chasing us also stopped. It was at this moment that I remembered a cardinal rule of Old West battles. Native Americans respected the iron horse we called the train. At every track that crossed their path, they would go to the ground and listen. If they heard rumbling noises, they would stay there, as it was a great honor to be in the presence of the iron horse. Occasionally, they would try to board the train while it was moving to prove their skills to one another. We shared this moment. The chief, who called himself You Will Die, greeted me. His other men gathered around closer. It was a solemn time. It was like we were good friends. Poncho and Wrong Way were off their horses in the bushes separately, of course, relieving themselves. I could see the last train car almost here. Chief You Will Die and his men retreated a little to give us room. It was brotherly love. Poncho and Wrong Way returned to their horses. Poncho asked if I knew who that was. Of course, I said. He said, You Will Die. Just then, the train's caboose passed, the crossing arms raised, and in unison, all four of our horses dropped a huge log on the ground. Poncho yelled, Go, and off we went. Through the bushes and down the dirt path we flew. Again, arrows shot over us. I could finally see a street up ahead. I think it was State Road 52. Yep, maybe they'll stop chasing us now that we're back in civilization. But this doesn't look like civilization. And they're still chasing us. Now, on State Road 52, I spot an intersection up ahead in a small place that resembles a bar. We dart out from the brush and
up the side of State Road 52. Cars are speeding past us. A sheriff cop honks his horn, gives us a thumbs up, and speeds up. Those darn kids drive up and throw Slurpee cups at us. Raspberry Rush, not bad. Finally, we pass the intersection, and it gets quiet quick. I turn to look. The fellers chasing us stopped. Red light, I thought. No, it's Bellamy Brothers Boulevard. For them, it's the end of the road. Their border, as a professional courtesy, the natives never go past Bellamy Brothers Boulevard. Instead, they stop and take a moment to reflect. Then in harmony, they all sang Let Your Love Flow and turned to head back. I was feeling thirsty, as was Pony, my horse. Poncho was out of breath. For good reason, Poncho fell off his horse shortly after the railroad tracks. He's been running behind us ever since. Hey, you saw a small bar across 52. Poncho was walking behind her now. They disappear inside the Neon Cowboy. Wrong Way Parker and his son, No Clue, turned right on 52 and headed towards the interstate. They had no choice, actually. The horses Garmin and Tom Tom took them that way. Well, I'm alone now, but I see a sign further west that may be just what I need. I thought, a winery. We can make it, right, Pony? I'll take that as a yes. Giddy up, boy! Not far up 52 to another road, we are here. Florida Estates Winery. This is gonna be good. But we're gonna have to continue this story some other time. Thank you for listening, those of you who are still here. In a bit, we'll return to Chico Dog Live on Blog Talk Radio. See y'all next time.
That's right. See y'all next time. All right. It's about that time already. Our show is coming to a close. Be sure to stay tuned with us and stay connected with us on our MySpace page. Become our friends if you'd like at myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That's Chico Dog and then the number 1. Or on our regular blog at ChicoDog.com. Let's see. We're also on Twitter. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can also do that. Or connect with us right here on blogtalkradio.com/ChicoDog. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and if you have comments or show ideas or just want to let us know you're listening, please do so. We welcome your feedback. Be a part of the show. Tell your friends and family to join us as well. We'll see you next time on Chico Dog Live from, let me get this started, from Wesley Chapel, Florida. On behalf of everyone behind the scenes, I'm Mike. Thank you for listening to Chico Dog Live. We'll see you next time, probably next Wednesday. We can get it right. 10 seconds left.
ChicoDog.com
podcast. See you next time. Thank you for listening.